Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, Sports City Chefs in the building. We are here. It's the Callers Cookout, the villain versus timeless, where good always wins. Coming at you another day, another Wednesday, 9 o'clock on January the 18th, 2023. I can't believe it's 2023, man. We here, though. Call the number 929-477-2759 with you for the next, we'll see, maybe 58 minutes, maybe an hour plus. We'll see how it goes. Shout out to our sponsors, PHI Apparel. You know, they must be happy down there. Philly, their Eagles, number one seed. You know who they got to face, though. But, you know, while you're there, go get you some Philly gear representing the Sixers, represent the Eagles. Use the promo code CHEFS. Get 15% off your order. Promo code CHEFS. That's PHIApparel.co. Get to their website immediately. Get your Eagles playoff gear while you still can, because I don't think they're going to be any much longer. But I don't think they're going to be alive. You know, we'll see how it goes. So I don't do this alone, though. Every good villain needs a hero. Every good hero needs a villain. I got the best hero in the world. I got the head honcho himself, TP Timeless. TP Timeless in the building. What's going on, brother? How you doing? My computer's a little slow, but I'll bring you in if I can. My computer. Hold on a second. I gotta bring these guys in. I try to do it in such a scientific way, you know, to bring them in. But you know, it's my internet. But I think I got it.
The blazer loosened up. The tie stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, don't you worry. I got it under control. I got it. Go ahead. You better go ahead. I'm in the building. We got this thing going, locked and loaded in the middle of January. Do you know what, people? I was saying this earlier today. I said we are at the near end of January. I'm feeling so good about that I feel, just because I've gotten older, that time is actually really flying. Like, time is flying. Like, so people, I know that we all panic once January, February coming around. We're almost at the end of January. February is a small month, and then spring comes, and I know how I am with spring, with allergy season, but, you know, all of the good stuff start happening, March Madness, everything comes into play. But right now, the thick of things on the gridiron is in full play. Of course, there's a lot of hardwood going on right now. There's some good stuff happening on the hardwood, too, especially in my end. So I'm loving every last bit of that, too. So we get to toss that around as best as possible. A lot of interesting matches coming up for this weekend as well. But we'll get into it. This grill is roasting, and I'm focused, man. Tell Barry to holler at me, man. Young Thomas, you heard?
Yeah, we here, man. You got to holler at me, man, because I came on your show on the Timeless Sunday morning brunch with you and Michael Harvey. You guys do a great job. I was a little late, but I had to eat. You know, TP keeps me fat. I got to admit, listen, you know, there are not a lot of things that I can cling to in this world other than my family and my friends. But TP will feed you. He will keep you fed. So I had to come in and get my giant plate. But you know how it is, TV. I got my giant
You tell me when to go. I mean, I got a whole rack. You want me to let it go? Tell me when to let it go. You just let me know. I'm coasting right now. But if you want me at attention, at ease, you just let me know.
That's exactly. But, you know, we had a good show last night on the NFL for All. Hosted by Sirius, and I co-host with him, had a special guest, New York Giants fangirl Adriana Ifola. You know, appreciate her coming by, gave her a chef apron, a guest apron, you know, put the NY on it so she can cook that bird with us. But, you know, shout out to her, and make sure you get to her platforms and her socials and follow her and listen to her show on Spotify and Apple. She does a great job breaking down Giants stuff. But I'm a little perturbed because my UConn Huskies can't get it right, man. We can't get right from life, you know what I mean? You just can't get right, boss. You know, I don't want to hear that we on the road, that our coach got COVID. We just do not have any kind of offensive flow. We blew a 14-point lead to Seton Hall and lost by one in Seton Hall, but I don't care. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. I don't even want to talk about the game. I don't want to talk about it right now, but I just had to get that out. I was talking to one of our buddies.
Oh, you can't just give us all the good. Wait, you the villain, ain't you? You got to go through the bad, too. Wait, hold on. We can't get all the guys up and then you want to dodge UConn. Wait, hold on. Wait a minute now. Wait a cotton picking minute. You better stop it. Now, here go the crazy part, right? Hurley sits out. Because he went to Seton Hall. The Hurleys are from Jersey, and they didn't want to sit out for this game. They think they slick. These people are funny, and they lost the lead, too. You know how much Vegas might have been involved in that game, as well as the Purple Peter evening game. If you want to talk about that, we can go every which way but loose. Don't you sit back there and hold back, because I'm right here. I will get my instinct going. You better tell all that crying stuff. Bye, 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 for real. I'm not playing.
Listen, after starting the season 14-0, we've lost five of our last six games and haven't looked good in a majority of them. Tonight it was all about how pathetic they looked on offense. I was telling Seth, a friend of a program, it was five guys standing around waiting to shoot a three ball. There was no flow. They just got no guard play. Newton just couldn't get anything going. They just can't get the offense initiated. Guys standing around, like I said, can't get easy buckets. The bigs couldn't finish around the basket. We weren't rebounding. We're always in foul trouble, always stupid fouls, tic-tac fouls, and, you know, giving them free shots in the bonus like a minute into the half. It's ridiculous. They have talent. They don't – Hawkins is a good player. I wouldn't put him on that Rip Hamilton – Ray Allen level. They want to put him on that level, but he ain't there yet. So he forces a lot of bad shots. You know, Jackson should not be shooting at all. Go ahead.
Wait, shout out to Tom Hanks. Are you crying? Are you crying?
What's Georgetown's record?
What's
Georgetown's record again?
They're horrible. Listen, they're horrible, and
no,
you hear me talking about Patrick
Ewing.
Wait, hold on. They're horrible, and I've been talking about Patrick Ewing for how long? Wait, Barry, am I lying? Yes, you stop me if I'm lying. Have I not been talking about Patrick Ewing for how long you been there for?
I know you have, but don't say
when we won the Big East tournament, I was dissing them then, and they won the Big East tournament. It's like, okay, well, let's see how far we can run. If we won the tournament as the bottom seed, that's the first time somebody in the Big East won the Big East tournament as the worst seed and won it. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he's terrible. He's on like a 28 game losing streak in conference play, spanning from a year and a half ago. He needs to be fired. I could care less. Or what his legacy is. He's not the coach for them. He's not coaching material. Like, that's a whole nother dilemma with Georgetown. Georgetown went and got him because he was a Christian Laettner legacy type player at Georgetown. They didn't pick him up because he did some outstanding stuff in the NBA. They picked him up because he's a dream teamer. What he did at Georgetown, him carrying the Knicks, so on and so forth, they didn't see his X's and O's. Every team in the NBA did not want him. Every team. And he was paying his dues. I see Nash and them get jobs for him. I Mark Jackson get jobs for him. Like, these are players that weren't even head coaches before him or assistant coaches before him got jobs before him. So that's that with him. But UConn, for the run that they were on early and the way that they're losing now, this is the Connecticut that I know, the state that I live in. This is the Huskies. This is what we know. They play around with it. Hurley went right back to the same old cavalry that he was from last year, and you don't show up on your floor. You from Seton Hall. You were the guard there. Like, I'm not trying to hear that crap, and you over here crying for him and need tissues. Stop trying to get your Mary J on, man.
Oh, come on. I know you're not talking. I mean, dude, cry me a river like Justin Timberlake with the stuff that you pulled, my big brother. But still, I got to keep it real. I got to keep it a buck. If it's your team, you cry. Like, when the Lions don't do well, you cry too. I don't pull out the tissue for you and pull out the violin and play the sad music. I'm not crying. I'm telling you, it's frustrating to watch this team shoot threes all damn day, dump it into Siago in the middle.
Wait.
He goes in the post, gets double teamed, is doing a stupid pivot all over the place and forces up a stupid shot. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm watching these guys right now.
The Lions are good. They were the best team in the last 10 games. They were
I mean, in general.
If it's Miami, if it's Georgetown, if it's the Lions, if it's the Twins, I just want to be heard.
It's fine. I understand. Like, you're saying, you're saying the villain's crying. Like, you get on your soapbox when your teams aren't playing well, too. I can get on my soapbox. I can tell how I feel, too, now.
I didn't ask. I could press rewind. I did the Carlos Correa deal. I didn't like that money that they gave him. That's a lot of money for Carlos Correa. The Lions situation, they were red hot. We needed the freaking Rams to win. And the FBI, the Federal Bureau, if they are investigating the referees along with the NFL for that game. This is true. If you want, you could Google it. That they're investigating the six refs that were involved in that Rams-Seahawks game. Four plays, two of them in which that helped the Seahawks force overtime. The other two happened in overtime. So that's that with the Lions. And even right now with the Lions not even being in the playoffs, they're the talk right now of football with Ben Johnson staying in Detroit. So I could do that. What other team are we talking about? The Rangers, they playing good. And who else? The Thunder. Watch out now. The Thunder going crazy. Like, what you want me to do? I could do whatever you – we could get whatever you like.
But,
I can get
but you're not listening. You're not hearing me. When I'm talking about my team, you're saying I'm crying. When your team is playing bad at some point in the season, I never say you're crying. That's what I'm saying, my big brother. You're not listening. You don't hear me. You're like my wife. You listen, but you don't hear me.
Whoa. Wait till I talk to Shia and let her know how you act.
Don't you
right
say
now,
that to her. Don't you talk to her. She's sleeping peacefully.
Shia, and I get my niece and nephew to jump in, too, because you know they bear on me. So you don't want me to bring the slaughter, so go. You better go ahead. You don't want me to bring the slaughter, for real. I'll have them all turn against you. Keep playing.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't need this right now. But let me bring it serious, and then we can talk that joke. Serious, what's going on, man?
I swear.
Hey, when you know somebody as long as I know this dude, like it's family squabbles, brother. Family squabbles.
I ain't even mad at you, to be painfully honest with you. I'm just sitting here enjoying the show. You know what I'm saying? Anytime UConn gets smacked in the head, I'm a happy dude because you are upset. And the way that you guys lost, just wow. Wow. But with that being said, what's up, gentlemen? How are we doing this evening?
Good,
yo,
man.
You can
good.
Pick on him out of North Carolina. All of us at college team lagging crazy. North Carolina look bad, too. Everybody looking bad. Shoot. Everybody got
well,
bad North time.
They still play basketball, TP? They got a basketball team, right? Because I haven't heard from
ooh.
Them in a minute, right?
Ooh.
I'm so
I hate doesn't go to UCF because my brother is a Tar Heel fan from way back.
All I'm going to say is this. TP, finishes for me. A wise man told me don't argue with fools because people from a distance can't tell who is who. So stop with that childish stuff, Barry. I'm grown. Please leave it alone. Don't throw Rock
at the throne, really?
Don't throw me tonight, my guy. Don't throw me tonight. How you guys doing?
I can't even with you guys. But much love to you guys. Listen, I'm going to get off college basketball because nobody wants to hear about college basketball. It's that time of year, brothers. It's NFL playoff. We were breaking it a little bit of it down last night on the NFL free-for-all, Tuesday, 9 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time, shameless plug. I got to go back a step with the Sunday game. We talked about it briefly yesterday with the Chargers and the Jaguars game. We talked about, you know, basically the ins and outs of that. And then basically the news that came out, was that offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi was relieved of his duties along with the quarterback coach, I believe. So, Staley keeps his job, but the offensive coordinator doesn't. And, you know, maybe justifiably so or not, but TP, are you surprised that Staley still has his job in Los Angeles? I keep wanting to say San Diego. So crazy.
I hate to do this to all Charger fans and people that support that area of the AFC West. There's a song by a male named Christopher Wallace. He passed away in 1997 on March 9th. He had a song that was called What's Beef? And the way the song starts off, ha, 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 ha. That is horrible that you watch this dude turn the ball over five times. Wait, four. I don't even know how to look at the number. Like four picks, yeah. Regardless, right? Three in the first quarter, first time ever in postseason history, and they came back and won that game. And the worst part about it is, y'all fired a quarterback coach, and y'all passing. Why are you passing? You're up heavy. Like, and this is the part that I'm laughing about. I'm not even laughing at the Chargers. I'm not laughing at Chargers fans. I'm not even picking on Staley. I'm laughing at Lombardi. Do you know Lombardi was in Detroit? You know Lombardi was our offensive coordinator. They got rid of him because he couldn't call the game at all. We were losing heavy with him, and he still get jobs because of his last name. He getting jobs because he's related to Vince Lombardi. Like that's crazy. Like, and then he goes to San Diego and messed that up. That's the same situation. I look at Shanahan. Like Shanahan, Kyle, not Mike, because Mike, you know, resume speaks for itself. But Kyle Shanahan is getting that off of the shoulders of his pops. And I'd say that he's not successful enough that he didn't get Atlanta to a Super Bowl, but we all know what happened in the Super Bowl, 28-3. Then we all see what happened with San Francisco against the Chiefs. They up 10 with 6 or 8 minutes and lose the game. And not even trying to run the ball up against Kansas City, and you know they're high power. The same situation with Lombardi, that he's trying to be the smartest guy in the room and not trying to get Eckler involved. Like, why would you – Eckler led the league in combined touchdowns altogether. Why is he not getting the ball? That's why you got Mike Williams out of the game. Mike is out. And then this is the worst part about Staley. Y'all kept Staley, and he played Mike Williams. Like, what are you doing? Like, he got hurt in the fourth late in the game that y'all didn't need, like, trying to be the smartest dude in the room. So now he was up there. You had to hear his press conference. Like, he was talking like he knew it was over right after the game. Like, that's what I've been doing now. Like, when somebody do something questionable or, like, it's a questionable coaching situation, I want to hear their presser. I want to hear the end of the game speech. Mm-hmm. And to hear him, let alone to hear Herbert, they both were so distraught and, like, knew that they blew the game. They knew, both of them knew they blew the game. It was like, I thought Staley's head was going to fly. And if the Chargers wanted to go after Sean Payton, he was a consideration, but they wanted to keep Staley again after he blew last season up against the Raiders. He blows this season against the Jags. And this is not only the first time. This is the second time they lost to the Jags in this season. The last time they lost to the Jags, it was in L.A., and they lost 38-10 in SoFi. Like, that's incredible that they're still able to maintain a job, but they got to get the scapegoat. So they picked the offensive coordinator Lombardi, and they got the quarterback coach. Whoop-de-doo. Like I said, Biggie, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Staley will be there again, looking up at the top of the AFC West. I don't think they're going to be better than the Chiefs next season. The Raiders may possibly come around, depending on if they do get a quality quarterback, if any of those big names. I'm not even going to try to talk that into existence, but any of them big names that swirl around would love to go entertain McDaniels. But I don't feel like the Chargers are an instant impact team to get them right there. And then Joey Bosa, like, for the question mark or questionability of what you may have said to that ref, where people are saying that he might have said something racist. Like, now, and I'm not going to lie, I love the way both of the Bozos play, but I like Nick better than I like Joey. But both of them have racist issues. If where that have popped up in that game, you know, potentially, it's like the wrong time for you to try to get selfish because something wasn't going his way. So I feel bad for Joey Bosa, especially while you were out for a good duration of the season, to end up costing your team a good portion of that game right there at the end of the game. So, again, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I didn't hear much of what he said. All I heard was the aftermath that when he ripped them. He said, I'm sick of those effing, or whatever he said, refs. So, wow. But, you know, and what's even crazy to me, I think Staley had a presser, what was it, today or yesterday? It might have been today. Where they asked him, has he ever felt in danger of his job? And he said, no. Like, what else is he supposed to say? But, like, it's just mind-boggling to me that this guy, I don't want him to be fired, but, like, option out there, then him. And to your point, they blew it against the Raiders last year, and then they blew it this year in a game that, you know, the Jaguars were on the mat. They were on the mat, and you let them back up. You let them off the hook. Let them off the hook. Serious, talk to me about Staley. Should his job have been in danger, or what, did they make the right move and let Lombardi go?
You know what? I think a lot of people are pouring dirt on Brandon Staley's grave, and rightfully so. I think everybody from the head coach to the dude who stirred the Gatorade should have left. Because at the end of the day, nobody had the ball to step up and be like, yo, run the dang ball. You know what I'm saying? You run the football a total of 20-some-odd times the entire game, and you have a 27-point lead. Like, we've seen this blueprint before. It's not like Brandon Staley is oblivious to how to blow games in this league. This is a guy, unfortunately, who is subpar 500 coach through the duration of his time there in L.A. You have all the talent in the world. You have, in my opinion, a decent quarterback. You have a running game. You had Keenan Allen back on the field. You go out in free agency this past offseason, and you make the moves. You bring in the corner. You sign Khalil Mack. You got, you know, Joey Bosa and everybody there. There should be no excuse, first and foremost, while you're sitting here at a 5th seed, let alone losing a 27-point lead when you have the tools to maintain said lead. So I think TP hit the nail on the head. I think Lombardi just so happened to be the fall guy. It's very easy for Joe Staley to go in there and make a move and say, you know, I'm cleaning it up. To show management that, hey, it's a guy. But what happens next year when you are piddling around 500, when you're struggling to sustain leads? Like, this is a team this year that has blown leads of double digits multiple times. This is a coach that has routinely decided to get cute and take his team out of you know, decent, you know, field position. He would go for it on fourth down more times than he would trust his team to defend the length of the field. So it's so many questionable calls compounded by the simple fact that you lose this type of game. I just don't think he's fit to lead this organization and to lead this team. And I'm shocked that he, as well as others, who I will talk about later, are still employed by the respective teams. I'm floored, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, it's not like I think Staley's a bad coach. I think he probably can coach and he would get a better job. But like I said, I feel like there's a better option out there. If I'm Los Angeles, don't San Diego to me, I don't care. If I'm the Chargers, I'm knocking down every door possible and giving up multiple picks to get to Sean Payton, because I feel like Sean Payton and Justin Herbert in an inventive, creative offense is a better look than what Staley has right now. But you know what? they're going to live by the sword, die by the sword. They're going to hang on that hill, and they support their coach. You want your coaches. You want to be supported by management as a coach, but, you know, there's only so much you can grasp at. But, Thomas, I want to pivot from that because, you know, we could beat that into the ground, but I want to get to the Sunday games that you guys broke down. We talked the Dolphins. You talked the Dolphins-Bills. You talked the Giants-Vikings. And then the Sunday night game, which I didn't give any respect to, which was much closer than I anticipated, with the Bengals and the Ravens. Of those games, which one? They were all kind of shockingly either close or had an upset with the Giants. Which one surprised you the most? If you're talking, you're on mute, because I do it all the time. Probably talking.
The answer was talking on you. That's a very good question of what I was saying. We're talking about all of the Sunday games. The one that did shock me, I think that the Ravens playing harder than expected. I thought that the Bengals would have blew them out. They didn't. I'm going to tell you the truth, Barry. I wasn't really shocked that y'all beat Minnesota, but I thought Minnesota was going to win that game. I'm going to say this, her and now. Not here now. Her and now. Four cities. I'm going to apologize on this rant. I did it before in another media with the barbers. I had to do it. I'm going to do it here. I do not care the heck Kirk Cousins does from here on out. I don't care what happens next year, 2023, 2024, on. I don't care. He has to prove to me that he could solidly win a primetime game, not – skin of your teeth or some crazy happening or enough now. They gave you all of this money. You had a receiver that he's in MVP conversation. Justin Jefferson's in MVP conversation. You can't seal the deal. They brought T.J. Hockenson in there. They're force-feed to T.J. Hockenson. You know T.J. had 9 catches for over 126 yards. He had that. So what else is happening? Like, they're not getting Dalvin Cook the ball. When they try to get Dalvin Cook the ball, they're down in the second half, and you guys got to pass the ball. So now you're putting the game in Kirk Cousins' hands where the Giants are like, yes, we want that, and he don't move like that. He is a dude. Let me tell you what Kirk Cousins do. Kirk Cousins will sit in that pocket. If the pressure comes, he can get the pass off. He will. If not, he'll take the sack. Like, that is the bad part about Kirk Cousins. He will take a sack at the wrong time in the game, and that hurt them. A lot of times, because they were sitting back, rearing up, passing, instead of trying to get your big playmakers involved in the game. I questioned what the offense was trying to do in Minnesota. I got to tip my hat to the Giants, because every time the Giants offense came on the field, they moved the ball downfield like they did not care. They didn't care that that was Minnesota. They didn't care that they was 13-4 or 14-3, however the record went. They did not care. They was pushing them around as much as they wanted to. Daniel Jones looked like an elite quarterback, and he's not. Saquon Barkley couldn't be stopped. Saquon didn't even have a big day rushing. So if they wanted to get Saquon the ball, that game could have been bloody. They let Danny Jones look good passing the ball. Like, this is the first time you can really think of Danny Jones having a good game passing like that. Like, passing, their offense was eating them up. Minnesota is overhyped. Is that the word I really want to say? Overhyped. I really want
overrated.
To
say.
Overrated. Yeah. Overhyped. All of it fits them. Like, Justin Jefferson, I respect you. You the only one that I think fits the bill. Dalvin Cook, I know you're a home run hitter. Like, I know if you see daylight, everybody's going to be running for a while. They will be running if Dalvin sees daylight. Other than that, yo, screw Minnesota, and that's my mother's favorite football team. And I don't even want to tell her that because I know my mother would get mad. You know what I'm saying? Because I know she loves her team. But it's like, other than that, like, I don't respect the Vikings at all. I don't. That's disgusting that they got dismantled. They didn't just lose that game. They got dismantled by a mediocre offense. Mediocre. The Giants offense looked like they were ready to go, and I don't feel like they pose a threat to a lot of teams, but the way they beat Minnesota, now the Giants are back and they got momentum because of that game in Minnesota. That's ridiculous. Kirk Cousins, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that you like that. I don't want to see you on a plane with 18 gold chains from everybody around you. They put it on, you thought it was cool, and you up here diddy bopping. I don't want to hear that. Like, no, you are trash until proven otherwise. You've been trash in D.C. You came to Minnesota, soaked up all this money. I don't want to hear it. You got to prove it to me. I'm sorry. I'm from Missouri. You know what, you mentioned it, and Sirius and Adriana, you know, New York Giants fan girl mentioned it yesterday too. The game plan for the Vikings was horrid. And Sirius, I'll let you elaborate too, and then you can pick whatever surprised you the most from the Sunday games. But not getting Dalvin Cook involved in the offense. They, I mean, he had some nice runs, I think, on that first drive, and then in the first half, I think, but then totally went away from him. Doesn't make any sense. I understand if Justin Jefferson's getting double teamed, it's hard to get him the ball, but you can find creative ways to get him open, to get him the ball. It was just a horrific game plan by the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, yeah, Hockenson was open over the middle a lot, you know, one-on-one coverage, open over the middle a lot, but your two best offensive players, you couldn't find them and you couldn't get them the ball. That's just a bad job. Sirius, I'll let you take it away. Would you give me your thoughts on the Sunday games? What surprised you the most?
Well, I mean, I'm gonna talk about the Minnesota Vikings, and then I'm gonna tell you the game that surprised me from Sunday. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, man, when you run the ball 16 times, you really don't set yourself up for success. Now, granted,
right.
It was a one score game. And, you know, the Minnesota Vikings had a chance to win that ball game, or at least tie it, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, again, you run the football 16 times, you're setting yourself up for failure. But what I will say is this. I said this yesterday with Adriana, and you were on the free for all. What the Giants did defensively was neutralizing and containing, if you will, Justin Jefferson was nothing short of spectacular. I mean, to hold that caliber of a receiver to 47 yards, and pretty much a lot of that, like we alluded to yesterday, Villain, was on the first drive, was nothing short of spectacular. You have to give up something. If you're playing defense, and I'd much rather give up T.J. Hockenson in between the hash than to get beat over the top with Justin Jefferson doing gritties in my end zone. You got to pick your poison, and I think that you guys chose wisely, allowing T.J. Hockenson to be the main focal point. Now, I mean, again, Kirk Cousins, he didn't have a bad game. He just didn't win said game. He went 31 for 39, so – again, I get the narrative, you know, the prime time thing that he loses in prime time. I get that, and I can't really negate that. But what the New York Giants did, again, by applying pressure, they never sacked him. Again, I mentioned this yesterday, but the fact that they were always around him, they made him check it down. They made him look to second and third options as opposed to his number one target. You know, Thielen, who you were categorized as a third option or as a second option, was neutralized because you only got three catches in that ball game. So essentially, it was Dalvin Cook checked down or T.J. Hockenson checked down. Again, that's just the credit of the New York Football Giants defensive staff. So very interesting game. But for me, gentlemen, and again, I ain't going to take too much more of you guys' time. The game that kind of shocked me, had me scratching my head a little bit, was the very first one with the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. If you're a Buffalo Bills team, and we didn't get to talk about it yesterday, so I'm glad I'm able to talk about it here. If you're a Buffalo Bills team and you have Super Bowl aspirations and you know, for all year was pumping your chest out and, you know, listening to, you know, press clippings saying that you are the, you know, Super Bowl front runner and you got Josh Allen, an MVP front runner, and missed that in the third, you don't have a close game with a first-game quarterback, period. Mm-hmm. If you're Josh Allen, that's a game that you go out there and impose your will and you step on the proverbial throats of your opponent and you leave no doubt. The fact that this was, once again, a one-score game at the waiting moments of that football game, it troubled me. And, you know, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I'm not sure if we're doing picks in this episode or if we're going to wait till another show to do game picks. But I'm going to tip my hand. I'm picking Cincinnati to win this ball game this weekend.
Mm.
because at the end of the day, there is a dog in Joe Burrow, and he's just going to go get it done. No offensive line, no problem. You're just going to find a way to get it done. And I've seen in big moments over the course of the past 2 years where Joe Burrow doesn't seem to make mistakes in that waiting moment. You know, he trusts his receivers. The defense for Cincinnati is very opportunistic. They make the tackle. You get the defensive lineman who runs a 90-some-odd-yard, you know, fumble return back. You got Mike Hilton blitzing off the corner, making sure tackles. You're not gambling on defense. You're not doing the things that, you know, get you beat at this particular point in the season. So for me, the Buffalo Bills are going to have to prove it to me. I mean, again, it's going to be a great story. This is the game that everybody talking about Cincinnati Buffalo. This is the game that everybody wants to see. This is the game that obviously was halted due to DeMar Hamlin and everything that happened with that situation. But at the end of the day, I am scared to death if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Your defense is not stopping anybody. You're not as dominant, especially since you lost Von Miller. And so you let Skylar Thompson and – name that running back, keep this game significantly close. They were able to get after Josh Allen. They were able to frustrate him. Now, I will say this as a caveat, and then I'll stop. This is a divisional opponent in the Miami Dolphins. So this is the third time that the Miami Dolphins and Buffalo Bills have linked up. And so with that breeds familiarity, if you will. So I do think that should go into consideration. But if you're just looking man for man, X's and O's, what I think is a better team going into this particular game on Sunday, I'm going Cincinnati, and it hurts me to say that as a Steelers fan. But, again, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's a very, very emotional game. But I agree with you. I didn't like what I saw from the Bills towards the tail end of that second quarter into the second half. Josh Allen throwing it down the field way too much, not checking it down, taking what the defense was giving him. You know, the offensive line putting them in a precarious position where they have to block for longer than they need to. They're dealing with some injuries too, so you know they need to check it down. They need to really. He needs to get the ball out of his hand a little bit faster and give that line a break. And they're, you know, they don't really have much of a running game to speak of, so that's a problem. So offensively, I have issues with him. Defensively, I think you're correct. Von Miller not being there hurts that fortunate injury to DeMar Hamlin. It does expose that fact that in the back half of their secondary, they're missing a piece or two there that they would normally have. I mean, I love Elam at the corner. I think he's going to be a good one, but you know that secondary can get exposed a little bit. So I feel like they're a good team, but they have some issues. I think they gotta shore some things up. You can't tell Josh Allen not to be Josh Allen, to be that gunslinger throwing it down the field, because he's got a big-time arm, right? And guys were open. But, you know, you got to tell him, be smart, too. You know, you can be aggressive and be smart. So I agree. That was a troubling game for me. But I want to ask you guys one thing, and then I definitely want to get into the Monday night game, and then we can look forward. TP Thomas, I'm going to come to you first, and then, Sears, I'm going to come right to you before I give my opinion. TP, do you have a problem with Lamar Jackson not being on the sideline for the Ravens-Bengals game, even though he was injured?
50-50. I'm 50-50 about it. To the point where, yeah, you should be there to support him, especially if they win. You'll probably be the guy to come in if you do start to feel better. But then again, for me, and what I feel Lamar's brought to that team, they sat up there and gave Roquan Smith $100 million, and he came to that team halfway through this season to let Lamar know, we don't care what you're crying about. We are not giving you that money that you think you're going to get. And the worst part about it is your mother's an agent. We lowball you just because of that. So he going to have to do his searching and scheming, however he's going to do it. Baltimore is not budging because they've done this with Ed Reed. They got Ed Reed out of there. They sent Ed Reed somewhere else. Why would we be surprised if they're going to do that to Lamar? Ed Reed is the first ballot Hall of Famer. They don't pay nobody. Baltimore rather sit up there and go through the struggle and just live off the defense. That's their beckoning call that our defense is going to get it done. If they think that Snoop, Huntley, and them going to get that thing done, then go ahead. By God, to do what you have to do. But I highly doubt that they get it done with him or Anthony Brown or Anthony's quarterback here, or if they go into the draft to go get another quarterback. Baltimore is letting us know that if Lamar leaves, we don't care if we're on a rebuild. We've been here before. And they'd rather go with Harbaugh and his decision on not trying to help bring in a receiver to help him and let him try to win these games on his legs and just look at him be miraculous. And when he comes over there, he hugs him like he loves him. But then when everything all else fails, they could care less. And then when Lamar had made the statement about his knee not feeling good, you hear Harbaugh say, "Oh, I'm not even reading into that. I didn't pay no attention to it." It's like, yes, you did. There's no way you didn't hear what Lamar said. There's no way. There's no way. So there's tension there. I know Lamar is good and gone. I just wonder where he ends up going. But I'm 50-50 about it. I really feel like he should have been on the field with them at least. But I understand where he's coming from, that organization, and that's the front office and potentially the coaches, don't care about him. Even though I do get the contract that they did try to throw him, it's quite a bit amount of money, but he wanted it fully guaranteed. So that's where, like, the tug of war is played at. I understand that he feels he's better than Deshaun Watson to me. And Deshaun was able to get that money, so it's like he wanted to see if he could get that type of deal. So it's going to be tough with Lamar to try to ink that deal somewhere with a team that's quality enough to get to a postseason. But now he's going to have to prove it outside of Baltimore.
Serious, I'll let you pick right up. What do you think about Lamar not being on the sideline? Should he have been there or not?
No, he shouldn't have been. I'm going to be honest with you. There are very few moves that Lamar Jackson has made that I agree with. This is one of those. Here's the deal. You know, we are all, at the end of the day, men with pride, egos, and a job to do. We get up and go to work and provide for our family and loved ones the best we can. And when we are in position to make our family's life better, and, you know, we try to go do that. The Baltimore Ravens essentially, in the midst of this situation with Lamar Jackson, decided to give a new contract to Roquan Smith. Essentially, like TP alluded to, giving Lamar Jackson a finger. Not one time did Lamar Jackson badmouth, you know, the Ravens and saying, you know, pump his chest and do all this sort of stuff like people do when they want a contract dispute. We sat here on this very network and in the barbershop several times and literally dragged Lamar Jackson for showing up to training camp, dragged Lamar Jackson for playing in the preseason, dragged Lamar Jackson for playing the first half of this year without guaranteed contract, without solidifying his financial future and his financial well-being, because we feared that he would get himself injured. And as somebody that knows the Baltimore Ravens pretty damn well, I saw this coming a couple of years ago. And again, if you watch the tea leaves, you kind of see this. The Baltimore Ravens don't give a damn about Lamar Jackson. They don't give a damn about anything that's not on their defense. And the thing is, gentlemen, they drafted Lamar Jackson, and then they pretty much surrounded him with Wish.com type of receivers and Wish.com type of offensive linemen and was like, you know what, make chicken salad out of chicken crap. The offensive coordinator is garbage. Yes, you build an offense to cater to your talent, but at some point you have to protect your investment or you find yourself searching for a new investment. And this is the situation that the Baltimore Ravens find themselves in. So if I'm Lamar Jackson and my team is on the road and the divisional opponent playing in a playoff game, I'm going to sit my happy tail at home. I'm going to go back to Florida and rehab. I'm going to do whatever I got to do because at the end of the day, I got to take care of the man in the mirror first. Mm-hmm. I've given myself to the team. I put myself out there for the team. I've done everything that I can to prove and to show that, hey, I'm not a me-first type of guy. I'm not a me-first type of dude. I went to bat for Eric DaCosta. I went to bat for Harbaugh. I stood up for the people who was dragging J.K. Dobbins and calling him all kinds of stuff because he was playing bad. I stood up for everybody. I was the one that picketed to get Deshaun Jackson in the building. I was the one that was frustrated when Bateman went down and this, that, and the third, and this is how you guys going to treat me? If anybody in the NFL needs to be on that Denzel-type Washington stuff, it's Lamar Jackson. Because the Baltimore Ravens essentially gave him the bird. I'm like, you know what, the hell with you, bro? We can do this to Tyler Huntley. We can do this to Anthony Brown. We can make a trade with the Seattle Seahawks and, you know, talk to them about getting Geno Smith. You know, we can call the 49ers and talk about getting Jimmy Garoppolo over here or you know, move some assets and trade up in the draft and pick up, you know, a project quarterback or whatever the case may be. You know, the latest thing that I saw, and I get off Lamar Jackson in a minute, the latest thing that I saw before I jumped on the radio tonight was the fact that the Chicago Bears were possibly in play.
Yeah.
To trade Justin Fields to the Baltimore Ravens for Lamar Jackson and then
That'd
to go and do some other things because they got the number one pick. So, hey, if we can spend the number one pick on an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, we can trade, you know, Justin Fields to the Baltimore Ravens. They kind of run the same style of offense. So, again, Greg Roman doesn't have to change his spots. We can still run our quarterback into the ground. We can still shop at wish.com for receivers and only trust Mark Andrews in the middle of the field. You know what I'm saying? But people out here in Baltimore want to scream, and DaCosta we trust, when you just literally wrecked, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever grace your franchise. So, man, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm sitting at home like, the hell with y'all. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm gonna go shopping this offseason and see what's up. And, you know, if you don't get a deal done, you can franchise tag me. I'm not going to show up, and, you know, we'll go at it from there. You know, I commend Lamar Jackson for not showing up to that playoff game. Here's the thing. He's been on the sideline for every game since he's been hurt. Every one. The week they signed Roquan Smith, he stopped showing up. Make sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I see it from both sides. I see it from your angle and TP's, right? From the fact that you should be on the sideline because you tweeted like a couple days before that game that you wish you were out there with your brothers and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I want nothing more to be out there, all that kind of stuff. And then you don't show up. So you like, you look gazy to me for that. Right. But then on that other side, yeah, it's a negotiation tactic because you're not getting what you want and you got to show them like, you know, that there's a rift that you're not happy. So that now, we're on our podcast talking about it because now there's obviously something wrong. Something's not right. So I see it from both sides. From my perspective, you know, he shouldn't have been out there to begin with. We said that at the beginning of the season. This was what we were afraid of, an injury, serious or not. I think it is a serious enough injury that he couldn't play, couldn't perform at a high level. But, you know, if his money was guaranteed, I promise you he'd probably be out there. But since he doesn't have a contract, no, I'm not going to be out there. So it's tough for me, and I just wish that – it kind of reminds me – and, TP, you know, like I know, it reminds me of, like, when a baseball player goes into arbitration, it's you as the player and the team, whether it be the owner or the GM, what have you, the president, whatever. When you're representing yourself, you know, it's you across the table from, you know, ownership of GM, and, you know, it gets pretty personal. Why, we're not going to pay you this money. No, I want $230 million guaranteed. No, we don't think you're worth that kind of money. But I got an MVP chip trophy, and Deshaun Jackson does it. Well, you can't throw – like, you know, all these other guys can't blah, blah, blah. It gets pretty personal, you know, bringing up numbers and stuff. Like, no, I'm the heartbeat of this team. This team doesn't win 45 games in every season I've been in this league without me. And it gets really contentious. And it's like, I wish he, you know, would get an agent. I applaud black power and black, you know, empowerment and representing yourself and getting your mother there. But there's intricacies within the contract negotiations that he can't attest. You want them to take care of that and you to have your say, but let them deal with that kind of stuff. So I think that's where a lot of the beef is coming. I think eventually he'll be back as a Raven. But it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I wholeheartedly believe that. So I wish he was out there. But I was surprised that, you know, like I said, I was on TP show Sunday, and I didn't think this was going to be much of a game. And, you know, things that stood out to me was the strong play of the Ravens defense. They were able to kind of just really blanket the receivers, not let them get big plays down the field, mostly because that Bengals offensive line is really banged up. So Burrow had the ball out of his hand in like less than 2 seconds. So it's a drop back read, quick read, and hit that open guy in the zone. So, and defenses are a little, they're playing him a little different. They're not going to let him, you know, take advantage. They're not going to play man-to-man and let these receivers take advantage of them down the field. They're going to play zone. They're going to get up in his face up the middle and force him to make a quick decision. So it's going to be different from last year's run. But the fact that it came down to a brilliant goal line play where they, you know, they knocked the ball out and took it back 100 yards was really surprising. So, you know, and shout out to Hundley who played, you know, he didn't play lights out, but, you know, he did everything he could to keep them in that ball game and probably could have tied it up if not for that play at the goal line. So call in number 929-477-2759. Got the chef, the caller's cookout, TP Timeless, serious with the villain himself. Timeless, I'll come to you. The Monday night game, the Cowboys and the Buccaneers, twofold. Were you surprised about the outcome? And do you think Tom Brady played his last game in the NFL?
I honestly thought it would be a closer game. I thought Tampa could either make it a game or win the game. I didn't think it would be that bad of a bludgeoning. We might have seen our last game from Tom Brady, but I think he might shock us again and end up on one of these teams that they particularly are mentioning, whether it's Vegas or out there in the Bay, like all the potential that they're trying to throw around. I don't know if Brady's going to leave the game on a butt kicking. Like, that's a butt kicking. Like, I don't think we're going to remember a GOAT getting beat like that, but it can happen. Anybody can make their mind. But the way that he looked at that game, I kind of want to split what I'm about to say, but I kind of have to say it this way. Brady is now old. Not saying looking old. He's old now. And there were a couple of passes in that game where Mike Evans and company, they were open and he was just throwing it behind them or couldn't place the ball where that ball needed to be. And Brady's looking like he's toasted. And the turnover that Curse had got, he did a shady play. I don't know if anybody's seen it, where he tried to trip him, but it actually kind of worked because he did get caught. But Brady's doing things that ain't Brady like, and everybody's seeing it now. Brady, we're starting to really heavily see the decline of Brady. I don't know if that's the way he wants to end his career, but if he does, it's time. We've seen it. He's 45. I don't think he has not much to prove. He got in the playoffs off the skin of his teeth. He's lucky the NFC South was terrible, but they got in there under 500, and the way Dallas beat them, it was like an all-around situation. It wasn't just Brady because that defense couldn't stop Dak and Schultz at all. Schultz and them, they were eating him bad. Like, so, Todd Bowles, I'm not buying it anymore. You're not a head coach. I don't care what you tell me. You screwed up in New Jersey. And now you're screwing up right now in Tampa. And the call that you made last year, blitzing the corner, that was Dean Cooper Kupp. You're not a head coach. You're making a lot of questionable situations happen, and you're not getting called out to be accountable for them. That needs to be called into action right now. And they may end up losing Byron Leftwich because people are intrigued to try and pull Leftwich in. So if he ends up losing Leftwich, I know Brady may potentially go because there's no old head around Brady to kind of keep him calm in the offensive scheme of things. So I think if this isn't Brady's last game ever, this is Brady's last game as a Buccaneer. I know that for sure. He is leaving Florida. Plus with Giselle buying a house next to his house, I know he's not trying to stick around Florida too long no more. I think he's done with Florida.
Yeah, I don't see him definitely played his last game as a Buccaneer. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't come back. But I agree with you. As Todd Bowles, as an African-American, I want him to succeed. I want him to do well. But it's not only the fact that, you know, Tampa Bay just took a massive this year. It was on the defensive side of the football that they took a step back, that they just looked completely lost in coverage against Dak Prescott in those boys. I can't justify it. You're a defensive coach, and the defense was horrid. Darius, what do you think about that Monday night game? Were you surprised in the outcome, and do you think you've seen the last of that man named Brady?
You know, to be honest with you, I wasn't surprised by the outcome, but I was surprised by the outcome, if that makes any sense. Because I honestly felt as though the Dallas Cowboys had an opportunity to win now for selfish reasons and the fact that I just can't stand the Cowboys. I did pick the Buccaneers to win. But at the end of the day, that was the best the Cowboys have looked in quite a while. I'm not going to hold you. Like, Dak Prescott looked like he was, you know, just reincarnated into something else. And so, you know, Kellen Moore called himself a decent game. Dak Prescott took what was given. He was accurate with the football. He used his legs. I think that's kind of where the game was won, because if you ask me, yeah, I was going to be made about the defense. But at the end of the day, the Tampa Bay offense was near the bottom anyway. Like, they were struggling to score points all year. It doesn't matter who they played. Hell, my squad beat them in Pittsburgh, and we wasn't even cooking yet. We didn't even have T.J. Watt back yet. We beat the Buccaneers. So at the end of the day, their offense was not doing well this year. And again, a lot of that has to do with their offensive line and what have you. But the fact that this Cowboys team went out there and just literally did whatever they wanted to do, came in the crib, sat down, ate the last piece of chicken, smacked the chicks on the behinds and everything else, it was just respectful. And if you're a Cowboy fan, you know, you enjoy that. So from that standpoint, it did go kind of like I thought. It didn't go like I thought, because, again, I expected it to be more closer than it was. To the question of Tom Brady played his last game, I don't think he did. Again, this is one of the most egotistical players in our game. And when you go out that way, when you have a very public and open, you know, discussion or fight or blow up or divorce with your wife and everything, and, you know, everybody's talking about that's the reason why she left you, and then you go out and you lay an egg like that, I think he's going to want to run it back, whether that's in Tampa Bay, whether that's in Vegas with the Raiders, whether he finally gets his chance to go to Miami and team up with the Dolphins, or, you know, wherever he goes, I think he's going to give it another year or so to kind of get this bad taste out of his mouth. But again, Father Tom is undefeated. It's tapped people on the shoulder at different points in their life, at different stages of their life. And he and LeBron have defied Father Tom for a very, very long time. I think Father Tom is now starting to tap on Mr. 45's shoulder and be like, yo, my guy, it's almost that time. So I think he's going to give it one more run and then maybe right off to the sunset. But, again, we thought he was going to retire last year, and He came back after 45 days. So we'll see what happens.
We almost had him. But, yeah, listen, I'll talk about Brady first. I mean, my gut tells me he'll be back with, like, the Raiders with the connection with McDaniel and company. I don't know why you would want to go to that organization. It's always a mess. It hasn't been a model organization the last few years. But, I mean, there's an opportunity for him to play there. You know, there's an opportunity for him to possibly be in Miami, but I don't see him going to the AFC East. You know, outside of that, San Francisco, I think, you know, they're going to have their own issues with their two quarterbacks, which we'll talk about pretty soon, but with Purdy and Lance. But they're going to have an interesting decision to make with those two. I tell you that right now. But I really feel like he needs to let it go. Like you guys said, TP, so you got nothing else to prove. You got nothing else to prove, man. Like, you've done it all. You went to the mountaintop more than any quarterback has. You're the greatest quarterback that ever played. I'll never say he's the greatest football player that ever played. Other people will say that. I ain't heard it. You're the greatest quarterback that ever played. But, you know, there's nothing else to prove. I don't know why you would want to keep playing. So, but my gut tells me he just can't let it go, man. It's, you know, it's a drug. It's addictive. You know what I mean? You know, they'll do everything to protect him and coddle him. You know, he don't have to get hit. He's Tom Brady. You know what I mean? They changed the rules so he don't have to get hit. So there's no harm, no foul on him coming back. But I was shocked that the Cowboys dominated him like they did. You know, at TP, I thought of you. The over-under was, what, 46? And they missed it by 1 point because of those missed field goal, extra points. It's like total Vegas, man. Total Vegas. But I was
Vegas
shocked
was
that.
That was crazy.
Oh, no good. But I was shocked that they played as well as they did, especially coming off that Commander game where they just really got their butts handed to them. Dak probably played his best game of football, definitely in a long time, running the ball, passing the ball, making good decisions, using his eyes, moving safeties, moving linebackers. He just played a really flawless game. Kellen Moore actually called a good game on offense. I think they could have ran it a little bit more, but I think they used Pollard in a way that really kind of let Dak Prescott get going. And the defensive game plan was really simple. Parsons, you stay on the on the line of scrimmage and you make it their life a living hell, and that's what they did. So, you know, they were the better team, and they left no doubt. And that was the most shocking thing to me, that they left no doubt. But, yeah, it's on to week to the divisional round, which I want to talk about because it's going to be – there's some good games. There's some intriguing matchups, some rivalries, some old, some new. We'll see what we got. So, I mean, I'm going to get the first game out of the way. Jacksonville, Kansas City, TP. You know, Kansas City coming off their bye week, 14 wins this season. The Jaguars off of that big win at home against the Chargers. I mean, what do you got in this game?
This is a very tough situation because I don't want to count out Jacksonville like that because of the way things went down against San Diego or Los Angeles. You got me doing it now, Barry. I thought the Chargers were going to win that game. I really did. Before that first quarter happened, I thought the Chargers were going to do it, and Jacksonville stormed back to win that game. So I can't really count them out like that. So as much as I want to make this an interesting situation, I am going to make this an interesting situation. They're going to lose that game. No, but I got it. I don't think they could go in the Arrowhead and win. I think that this will be closer. I think Vegas is setting everybody up to try to go out there and go get the Chiefs at a high rate. I know that point spread is going to be favorable. I'm looking at it right now, and I think it's 8.5. I think the Jags keep it within the one possession. But I think Kansas City still wins. It could come down to a touchdown or a field goal, but the way that Mahomes has been playing, I really got to see if Jacksonville could slow him down in the track and field games. Like that's Usain Bolt, that's Justin Gatlin, that's Tyson Gay, that's Asafa Powell, that's all of the track stars you could think of wearing football uniforms. There's a track meet every time. And as soon as he say hike, you got to keep up with speed. And Madison speed kills. I don't think Jacksonville could do that all night on the road. If they do, this will be the upset of the century, or at least a decade. Something's crazy going to happen. But I think that Kansas City takes care of business in this game. But I feel like it'll be a one-possession game, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a closer game, too, and it's going to be very interesting. Sirius, what do you got on this Jacksonville-Kansas City game? It's not the one that most people are talking about, but it could be a track meet. It could be interesting. If you're talking, you're on mute. I think he dropped. I'll get him back in if he comes back in. I mean, to me, Timeless, it seems to me like the Kansas City defense is playing some good football at the right time. I think their pass rush is really kind of come together. You know, I think just as a whole, their defense has been playing some good football down the stretch this last month. I feel like Kansas City is going to jump to a big lead. I think Lawrence is going to get some scores, get him back in the game. And then, you know, I think Kansas City will pull it out late. I mean, I'm really impressed with, you know, we said it a couple times, like, you know, I like Jacksonville's offseason from the draft and the people that they signed. And then to get to this point, that's Doug Peterson that's coaching. So, you know, kudos to them. But I think the buck stops here. I think this is the end of the line for them. And no shame in that. Kansas City's a really good team. So, I agree with you, though. I think they're going to keep it close, but I think Kansas City will prevail. But I want to talk about, the game that I'm most interested in, the Saturday night game, Giants-Eagles. DP, I'll let you go first, and then I'll clean it up. I mean, what do you think about that Eagles-Giants matchup, the third time they're meeting this year? The Giants have lost. They lost both contests, with the latest one, 22-16 at the link to close the regular season.
I hope the Giants can stay around, man. That game at the end of the season, it kind of really doesn't hold too much volume to me because I know Philly was kind of trying to go through the motions so they didn't get anybody hurt, but they wanted people to still stay crisp and make sure they could lock down first place as best as possible. The last time they played them before that, they were in New Jersey. And they beat the blood out of the Giants, and they were just blue and white after the game. No more red, white, and blue. They just beat them to blue and white. So if Philly does this right, if Jalen Hurts is effective, I really want to see if that injury is really bothering him because they've been trying to, like, keep that on the wraps as best as possible. But if he comes out and he's successful, that running game is working like it is, and that offensive line as stout as it's been all season long, the Giants may be in trouble, especially going into House of Horror, a.k.a. the Link. Where's a hostile environment? It's going to be tough for New York to go in there and do it. Can they do it? Yes, because the Giants have always gone into a postseason and been able to do the unthinkable with the no-namers. But this Eagles team has been doing it all season long, and it'll be interesting if the buck stopped at this point in time. I find it hard for Philly to lose this game to a Giants team that is middle of the road for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be hard for the Eagles to lose this game, but everything points to the fact that there's so much pressure on the Eagles because they're the one seed, they're the favorite, the Giants are playing with house money. I mean, any point of this playoff that they keep playing is like I said, they're playing with house money. So all the pressure is on Philly, and the Giants are, you know, should be loosey-goosey and going back to the link. I mean, I agree with you, I don't look at that last game of the season much because the Giants didn't play their starters. The Eagles didn't really open up the playbook. The Giants played them tough with their backups. You know, the first game is more of an indication. But, again, Leonard Williams didn't play that game. Adoree Jackson didn't play that game. I think they were missing a couple other guys in that secondary. So, you know, there was guys on the defensive side that didn't play in that game. You know, Hodgins wasn't there yet. As a factor on offense. So, you know, I think there are some things that are leaning towards the Giants. Interesting stat, though, TP. Do you know since 1990, the Giants haven't lost to a one seed? They're 6-0 against one seed in any conference. That's crazy. Since 1990, they haven't lost to a number one seed. So, I'd love to see that trend. I'm going to pick my Giants, obviously, because I'm not going to pick against them. I think they do have a realistic shot to win this game. I think they'll keep it close, you know, and they'll have to pull it out late. Daniel Jones is you know, played his best game. Can he duplicate it? He has to play better than perfect. And he played pretty perfect last week, so for them to win this game. So it'll be very interesting. I think the defenses on both sides are going to decide the outcome of this game without a doubt. So, Thomas, the Sunday games, these are going to be two really good games. We get spoiled in the playoffs, I think. We get some really good football lately. And if the first game is the before-mentioned Buffalo Bills versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, it's a rematch from the regular season game that we only got to see a quarter before the untimely injury to DeMar Hamlin, who's recovering at home. You know, prayers, you know, God is a miracle worker, and you know, he's doing a lot better right now. So this is going to be an emotional game. It's not back at Cincinnati, but still these two teams that shared an unbelievable experience together on the field, a hookup in the playoffs. TP, what do you got?
I can't give too much, but it's going to be the most entertaining game this weekend, I feel, where these quarterbacks are going to go shot for shot. The heart-heavy situation for Buffalo and Cincinnati trying to redeem themselves after that offensive line blunder in the last two plays of the Super Bowl, where I looked at you on third down in the third down snap where Aaron Donald had tackled Mixon, and I looked at you and said, Barry, game is over. And you said, what were you talking about? I said, Barry, the game is over. They're going to pass on 4th and 1. You said, no, they're not. I said, watch. They came out of the shotgun, they passed, and the game was over.
That's right.
So now Cincinnati has to do all of the right things to get right back to that situation and redeem themselves. They've been playing like their hair has been on fire since midseason, and this is a hell of a collision, especially the way that this game is going down, because who's to say that Cincinnati didn't win that game in Cincinnati? But now it's kind of like the rematch, fool, like next Friday. So I want to see how this goes down. I really can't wait for this game. With both quarterbacks, I do respect. I had to learn to like Josh Allen, but I'm a big Joe Burrow fan because of his birthday. Just check out Joe Burrow's birthday, and you'll see why. But other than that, I can't wait. That's my little twin, if y'all don't get it. But both of these guys are excellent, and they both could take off. I think Josh Allen is more capable of running more, but Burrow will do the same thing too. Burrow will take off just to pick up the yards to do the right thing, and he's been dangerous, and he's young and talented too. So this is all type of fireworks, and get your popcorn ready for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're going to see a lot of Joe Burrow getting the ball out quick. He's not going to hold that ball. Like I said, he got the ball out in 2 seconds. Against the Ravens, you know, they're missing 3 of their 5 offensive linemen, so that kind of compromises what he can do. They can't go down the field. They're going to play zone on you and really kind of keep everything in front, almost like a cover 2, cover 3 shell, and really kind of, you know, you have to put them in the right spot in 2 seconds or less. So on the Bills, hopefully that'll kind of help them because their pass rush isn't as good as it was, like we said, without Von Miller. I think it's going to be a game where you see Josh Allen at minimum get at least 15 quarterback runs. Hundley had some design runs and ran the ball effectively against that Bengals defense. So I feel like the Bengals are vulnerable in that sense that a running quarterback can be an Achilles heel for them. So I think the Bills really get physical. I think they start to pound it. And I'm leaning towards the Bills. I mean, I kind of feel we're seriously saying I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals won that game. But I feel like the Bills are on a mission. I think they got a wake-up call. If they didn't get a wake-up call last week, then there ain't no time. But I feel like they're going to be physical with them. I feel like they're going to run right at them with you enough. They'll make enough plays to get stops late, and then they'll really clamp down on them in the fourth quarter. It's going to be a close game. I expect all these games to really be close, to be honest with you. And this one's no exception. I think the Bills will hold the Bengals off. I think they'll be up late in the fourth quarter. The Bengals will have the ball and drive down, and then the Bills defense will have to get a stop to get that win. I'm not sure. Do you know what the line is on that game, TP? I think it was it's 5. So they're minus 5.
It's 5.5. It's at 5.5.
Oh, okay, so it is 5.5. Okay. I would take the points on the Bengals. I think they're going to win. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win by 3. So that's kind of my gut on that one. But I think it's going to be a close football game. And then the game that, you know, I mean, as a Giant fan, the game I'm waiting for is Giants-Eagles. But I think the most intriguing game of the weekend is probably the Dallas-San Francisco game. This rivalry goes way back. I mean, we watched these rivalry with Steve Young, Troy Aikman. We're talking about Emmitt Smith and Terrell Owens doing the, you know, the pose on the star. This is a bitter rivalry from last year as well. This rivalry, it seems like it's renewed. The 49ers, they're clicking on all cylinders. Dallas looks really good against Tampa Bay. TP, what do you got in this game?
The story to watch out for, I'm going to tell the truth, is which quarterback can prevail up against which defense. I think all of the pressure is on Dak to get it done because this is the same team, different scene. Because they're in California now. They're not in Texas. This defense is the one that stifled them, made them do that quarterback scramble and tackled them with like 11 seconds on the clock. They had no timeouts, and they couldn't stop the clock, and the game ended. This is the rematch, fool. The theme still continues from next Friday. Dak is going to have to prove it. But bigger than that, can Purdy carry the Niners? That's right. And I don't want to put this pressure on him because I actually like this kid.
Can
Purdy carry the Niners with everything on his shoulders, especially with the world watcher? Forget this America. The world wants to see him either do good or fail. Cowboy fans want to see him fail. The rest of the world has that feel-good story of the young guy, third stringer, picking up the pieces to carry this team. If he gets it done up against Dallas, beware Sports City. There will be a show on Monday if the Niners win that game. If the Niners win, there will be a dismantling of the star. I will do it all by myself if I have to. This is tough, but just pay attention to this game. I know I'm going to be watching this. My popcorn is ready.
I feel like, you know, and I got to ask you real quick, TV, who would you trust more, Purdy against that Cowboys defense or Dak Prescott against that Niners defense? Like, who do you trust more?
I'd have to say Dak because Dak's been here and is tired of falling on his face. I think Dak has had enough of that. Like, if he doesn't take it personal for all the years that he has fallen short, then people could start to dismantle Dak Prescott. That's what I'm saying. So if the Niners win, I'm going to go get Dak, unless he's injured or there's a special teams play to happen and he's safe. But if Dak is playing sluggish or he's turning the ball over or he just can't get things going, it will not be safe for the star in Sports City. That's all I'm saying. It won't be safe. So I think all the pressure is on Dak Prescott, and I don't want to give too much more on how much I will dismantle him because that's like setting up for my masterpiece recipe. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would trust Dak, even though it's a better defense in the Niners than the Cowboys. I mean, listen, Purdy, I saw some good things from him. Against Seattle, I saw some bad things. I saw some bad habits that he's got to clean up. Like, you know, trying to go out the back door of the pocket when the pocket collapses, backing up instead of stepping up in the pocket. But then, you know, he made some, like, early, the playoff jitters got to him a little early in that Seattle game. He was making some throws that were sailing on him a little bit. But then, you know, they settled down. McCaffrey got it going. Then he found Debo and Kittle, and then it was off to the races. I mean, that offense, if you don't make mistakes, that offense runs, especially with McCaffrey now. That thing is on autopilot. I mean, McCaffrey, I think I said it to one of my buddies that I was talking to McCaffrey had that long touchdown run, or that long run. He didn't get the touchdown. They got it early in the game. But the most impressive run to me in that game was like a 4-yard run where he ran up the middle, jump cut in the hole, and just lowered his shoulders and powered through to get a tough 4 or 5 yards. Like, he is just an amazing running back, and he gives them an element that they hadn't had, even when they had Moser and Wilson and company. He's just a dynamic runner that you can get the ball to in space. You can get him the ball up the middle, handing him off or throwing it to him. He just makes Debo, Kittle that much better, and he gets them that much more open because he's such a dynamic player. Purdy, if he doesn't make mistakes, it should come pretty easy for them, right? So I like the Niners in this game. I like what I saw from Dak and company last week, but I feel like that Niners defense is a different animal than that Bucs defense. That Bucs defense is horrid. And the Niners defense with Bosa and company, Armstead, who doesn't get enough credit in my eyes, who's a damn good defensive player, they get after it. And they are an aggressive defense. They play fast. They get up in your face. And then they play physical in the back end. So it's going to be a tough go for CeeDee Lamb. I don't think he's faced a defense as good as this. Maybe it's Philly, but I don't know. I haven't seen that. So I think Dak, if he plays the way he plays, they can keep it close. But I think the Niners are going to pull this out, especially in the advantages for them to be in San Francisco, at home. Everything points to me saying that the 49ers will win this game. So that's my pick. But it's going to be a fun weekend of football. I hope everybody gets out there, gets to watch it, enjoy themselves with their friends, loved ones, whoever, and enjoy some playoff football. This is when it really gets good. TP, I mean, is there anything that you wanted to talk about anywhere in the land of sports before we close this kitchen up and call it a night?
We could do something real quick about LeBron here at 38,000, and then we could get out of here. I mean, your thoughts on LeBron and the 38,000 mark and being in that elite company with just him and Kareem. He's right around the corner from breaking the record.
Yeah, I mean, it's a feat. The hater in me, the villain in me wants to say, oh, it's compiling, and, you know, whatever. He's played this long, and, you know, he should have that record. And it's true, but you still have to marvel at the fact that, you know, he has eclipsed that 38,000 mark. It's not something that a lot of people thought would be done. I think in our youth we saw Malone get close, Kobe got close, but nobody got to at least with the point where LeBron is right now. So that's a credit to himself. So shout out to LeBron James for getting that high, and he's about to take that record down. I hope Kareem can find it within himself to applaud LeBron. As much as I hate on the guy, he's important to the game of basketball. He's an ambassador. He's important to the African-American community. And you know, there's a lot of people that have records, but, you know, you're kind of happy that a guy like LeBron could be that standard bearer in the game. So shout out to him. But, yeah, the hater in me is like, yeah, whatever, dude. You should have had that record. You should have had it a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? No, I'm just being hateful. But, yeah, it's impressive, man. It really is. Like, you know, he's not a scorer like Jordan. Jordan, if he hadn't taken a couple of years off in between those couple of retirements, I think he would have eclipsed Kareem because he was a dominant scorer, 30-plus a game. LeBron, I think, is, what, 26, 27 a game, more of a facilitator. But, at the end of the day, you don't apologize and you don't have to make excuses for having as many points as he did, and he's going to get that record.
I do understand that the compiling feature is just that it's amazing that he's been able to play this long and for at least for myself to watch the growth from him in high school. I remember the games that he was having on ESPN to him coming into the league that first game against Sacramento, and up until this point, not too much has changed other than him aging and losing hair and so on and so forth, but he still is him at the end of the day. And the only thing that bothers me about LeBron right now is how the Lakers aren't really intact. I mean, they're trying to get their way back into the thing and trying to get to 500 while Anthony Davis is on the rim back to mending himself together, but it's tough to watch LeBron accomplish a feat as big as this is with the best scorer of all time or the leading scorer of all time being Kareem, and the Lakers don't look like a threat to make the playoffs. Like, they can make it if they go on a run, but that's not a team we see them going to the playoffs and running. Like, even when Kareem was ending his career, the Lakers still made the finals, if I'm not mistaken, in 88, 89. Like, I think around there they lost, you know, but still, like, they still were a playoff-relevant team. LeBron is the face of that team and can't do it, and he's putting up 40-point games, and they're winning now, but he's really going to have to exert that much energy at the age of 38 right now. So it's tough to see this as much as the competitor in me. And, you know, when they played the Thunder, that's kind of when it kind of my heart turned cold toward them. But when before then, all the years before then, I was supportive of LeBron. But now that his career is close to ending, I don't want to say he's coming to an end now because he still has a lot of game left in him, and he's really trying to hang on until his son gets to the league. But I don't think his son is a one-and-doner. I don't think he's going to college and coming straight to the league, but LeBron is able to do what he wants to do. He's like the queen piece on a chessboard. He can move anywhere. He can do what he wants. So until then, you got to prove him. He is a legend.
So you think his son is going to go right to the league, or you think he's going to be a
one-and-done? I said he's not a one-and-done. I think he's at least 2 years, but I know that a college will try to try to put that bug in the air that he could leave, or a scout would be like, you can leave because, you know, your father's there and his money, and there ain't nobody not going to try to pick him up. So, but I don't think he has that game that makes him pop off the charts like Carl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis or Carmelo Anthony. He's not them, but he's doing what he can in the West Coast at Sierra Canyon, like the team that they played there. But We'll see once he gets to the college ranks. If he goes in there and starts blowing it up, then it proves me wrong. But right now, I don't see that star power in him.
Yeah, I think he could benefit from a couple years in college. I think his game is getting better as he starts to get older. I've seen from what I've seen, I think he's getting a little bit better. But you know, I don't know. I think whatever he does, it's going to be a product of his dad, and it sucks for him, right? If he goes to Duke, because of your dad. If he goes right to the pros and gets because of your dad. You know what I mean? Like, he can't win for losing. He can go to a small school, and it still wouldn't make a difference. So, you know, LeBron wants to play with his son. That he's made it abundantly clear. You know, good for him. I personally don't really care whatever he does or not, but yeah, that Rockets game they won, he exerted so much energy. I think it was the other night, just to get that win, right? But, you know, you look at that three-game stretch, you know, got blown out by the Nuggets, lost to the Mavericks, and lost to the Sixers. Like, that's who they are. They beat the Kings, they beat the Hawks, they beat these teams that they should beat up on. They go on a little run, everybody thinks they're back, but then it's back to reality when they teams. And I really think they're a play-in team that's going to get bounced in the first round. So, you know, I don't know. It will, you know, they're 20 and 24. Once he gets that record, it's just like, I don't know why we're talking about the Lakers very much. You know what I mean? It's going to be kind of tough to watch this team. But, you know, give Russell Westbrook some credit, like coming off the bench and playing well with the second unit. They need him to play well. But I just, you know, I think they're in the mix for Cam Reddish, as far as I heard today. That would be a nice shooter that they can get. But other than that, I just don't see this Lakers team doing much of anything right now. I really don't. So it's going to be a tough sled for them. But, listen, like I said, you know, always a pleasure doing a show with you, TP, talking some hoops a little bit here. My Knicks lost, so, I mean, I'm basketballed out for for one night. My son's team won. They won their game 20-16. Came from behind and got the dub, so they got their second win of the season. Happy about that. Other than that, I'm basketballed out. But thank you so much for doing the show, College Cookout. Pretty sure the roundtable will be on tomorrow with Chandler and Mike, Michael Harvey, so definitely take a listen to that. We're on all streaming platforms, so you can ask any of your devices to play the Sports City Chefs and she'll hook you up. Make sure you definitely get out there and listen to our show from yesterday with our guest host, Adriana Iavola, New York Giants fangirl. Is her Instagram handle and Tumblr. I think she's on Tumblr, too. So shout out to her. Shout out to our sponsors, PHI Apparel. Get to their website. Use the promo code CHEFS. Get 15% off of your order. Get your Philly merch, your Sixers, your Eagles merch, what have you. It's always, like I said, it's always a pleasure doing the show with you. I appreciate you and everything that you do for the Chefs, do for me personally. And TP, you know what time it is. You know what they do, man. Nobody can close the show like you can close the show, even though you let me have my show. I let you close because I can't do it like you, brother. So take it away.
Nan Nutter. That's all I'm going to tell you is Nan Nutter, if you don't know where that's from.
You got me like baby powder, man. So I'm baby white. Yeah, you powder, and I'm baby. You know that's his name, right? I never knew that until like years ago. My best friend from college told me Mike Epps was baby powder and his baby white.
Listen, this is how exciting it can get, Sports City. All I have to do is say Nan Nutter, and I set this thing off like the 80s. Set it off for MLF, y'all. Set it off for right, y'all. I set it off. So stay tuned. Just like you said, we got shows going down, that's for sure. Stay tuned for Sunday, because that's why they give the picks for the Sunday game, because I don't want to take away from the brunch. I got to keep some type of ammo. I got to keep something. Mm-hmm. I got to keep something. Got to keep you intrigued. Got to keep your mind sharp, you know? Sorry, boys, but all the money in the world couldn't bring me back again. Lay down. On that note, tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow. Of course, it doesn't want to play for me. I think my computer is just a wreck. It's just terrible. Terrible teacher.
Sports City Chefs. Kaboom. Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune. Bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom. The clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention. Tune in. We